Hello again, listeners. This is Todd Maxwell from the Bureau of Justice Assistance Body Worn Camera Team. Today I'm speaking with Chief Mike Lasner as part of BJA's Body Worn Camera podcast series. We hope to specifically gain a better understanding of the perspective of tribal police departments in relation to body worn cameras. Chief Lasner has served as Chief of the Suquamish Tribal Police in Suquamish, Washington for the last 11 and a half years. Prior to that, he was Chief of Police for the Lower Elwha Qualum Tribe and served in the Marine Corps, moving up the ranks to Platoon Sergeant. Thank you for joining us today. I'd like to start off by asking you what the biggest challenges to implementing a body-worn camera for a tribal police department.
Some of the specific issues we've been running into are, the biggest one is having adequate personnel to address the increased discovery workload. We basically went from just, you know, officers' reports and statements to suddenly having to make copies of videos and provide those for the prosecution and defense on virtually every case that we did. And, you know, it's pretty easy to buy the equipment, buy the hardware, and hit the on button. What's more difficult is, you know, developing a system to handle it on the back end to ensure that all the discovery demands are met and dealing with external agencies, getting copies of videos to the federal government and our other partners has been probably our biggest challenge. Privacy laws are another one that is a huge issue. And of course, each tribe has its own specific privacy laws. But, you know, public disclosure, the protection of data, the cost of redaction, and how much time and employee hours it takes to redact data. The control of the videos pre-trial so that a jury pool isn't contaminated. Most of our tribal communities are pretty small. So if a video is provided to the defense and it gets out of, you know, the criminal justice system, it could end up online and contaminate an entire jury pool. So we have to maintain, you know, tight restriction and tight control of videos by all parties until a matter is heard in court. And, of course, in your development, we really, you know, needed to involve our prosecutors, defense, and courts. Law enforcement alone can't just buy the cameras and start using them without partnering with everybody downstream who's going to be using that product, or you'll find very limited success in the ability to use that product downstream if you don't have buy-in by people like the prosecutor and like your courts.
Great. That is one of the things with our pilot implementation grant funding that we have been promoting is collaboration. One of the things you mentioned was the different tribal communities have different privacy laws and you have to submit videos to federal agencies. So I want to see if you can sort of elaborate on those and what policy challenges along those lines would a tribal police department face versus a non-tribal police department?
Well, when you focus on accountability, that's tended to be where we got the most support from our community because, you know, with current events across the nation, everybody's interested in law enforcement accountability. We saw shortly after implementing body cameras, and we're actually on our second set of body cameras, so we've been using these for over 5 years. But what we call the anti-effect existed prior to us using cameras, and that's where someone who got in trouble, you know, they'd be arrested, they'd go to jail, they'd get released, and then when they see their auntie or their mother or their grandma or other family members that they hold in high regard, and they're asked what happened, they would not want to look bad in that person's eyes. So they got quite creative on their storytelling. And of course, family members hearing about, you know, their poor family member being picked on by the police who, you know, allegedly had fabricated the whole thing, would then go to counsel or come to the police department to file complaints. And so one of the biggest benefits of body cameras was that happened just a few times after we got cameras, and then the word got out on the street. So it really cut into a lot of our complaints and reduced our workload in those areas. But public disclosure and individual privacy issues are huge. People are not going to call for help if they think that in a small community, all of their business, all of the contents of their house, everything going on in their personal life is going to be broadcasted. It's going to be out there for, you know, their enemies, their friends, everyone to delve into their household. So having public disclosure and privacy issues that address the needs of that individual community are critical. You know, we're in Washington State, which basically releases everything to anyone who asks for it. In our tribal community, we're far more protective of our community members. We don't want their personal lives being broadcast for amusement or entertainment of other people. But that has to be balanced against the accountability of law enforcement and the ability to use, you know, whatever is seen by a law enforcement officer as evidence. We have an additional challenge because we're in the final stages of developing an MOU that will turn on state authority. So when we're acting as state officers, we'll be operating under a different set of rule than we have been for public disclosure as when we're acting as tribal officers. So that is a new challenge that we're about to address and tackle.
That's interesting. So when you guys have those Washington state laws on disclosure, like Seattle and Spokane and some of the other places are having, do they apply to you, or do you guys go by the tribal or the federal laws on disclosure?
When we're acting only as tribal officers, we'll stick under our tribal laws for public disclosure. But if we turn on our state authority and we're acting as a state agent, then basically we need to follow state laws, and that includes the disclosure of any actions that we take as state officers. So those tapes where we're acting as a state agent, we do plan to comply with Washington state law when we're acting in that capacity.
And just to elaborate a little bit more, do you have times where you might start as a tribal officer and then something escalates and you become a state, or is it clearly defined?
No, we will always start as a tribal officer. And if we reach a point in the investigation and the county units are not available or it's a lower level offense, then there'll be a bright line moment where we'll activate our state authority. Much like the old Blue Courage program that used to exist with U.S. Customs and local law enforcement, there was a bright line moment where you basically flipped the switch and turned on the state authority. And so basically at that point, we'll, you know, if we're acting under state authority, then we'll provide that information.
Okay, great, thank you. You mentioned privacy and community concerns, and I was wondering if you could sort of address how those need to be considered during policy formation and what type of outreach would be most effective for garnering community support.
I would recommend that people just follow the normal processes that they follow with any community-oriented policing activity, which is, you know, full, you know, transparency, full involvement of all of the stakeholders, and that would include, you know, of course, the council and whoever they choose to have as their representatives at the table, you know, the full legal system so that whatever you're doing is going to withstand legal review, and basically an open process, invite the public, invite the community, and let them decide what works best for them. You know, of course, as law enforcement, we serve the community. So, you know, they need to be fully educated. The issue needs to be fully discussed and vetted. And then, you know, allow the community or the whatever process each individual tribe uses, come up with their own guidelines.
Thank you. I know you recently and unfortunately had officer involved fatal shooting, and I know this is a tough event for your agency and the community to work through. So because of that and the fact that it's under investigation, I don't want to get into specifics of that event, but I would like to ask if you think the use of BWCs by your officers will help investigators in the community properly understand the event and see things from the officer's perspective.
Absolutely. And we've actually, since 2004, had three, unfortunately, officer-involved shootings. All of them were captured on camera. The first one in 2004 was captured on a patrol car camera. The others were captured on body cameras. And they have, in every case, been specifically referenced by the prosecutor as, you know, the justification for finding that our officers acted appropriately and legally and justly. In one of the cases, the family of the gentleman who unfortunately lost his life initially thought that, you know, we had done some horrific things. And after seeing that video, they actually came in, met with us, sat down, and apologized for the behavior of their family member and assured us that there would be, you know, no legal follow-up or court cases because the video had convinced them that we had only done what was appropriate. So we love having the body cameras and any patrol car cameras because, you know, we're doing good police work. We're acting appropriately, and the cameras can only catch that and can only document that, and that is always, you know, in the best favor of good cops who are doing good work.
Thank you very much for that. One of the big things that we've discussed with tribal law enforcement agencies is funding and a lack of funding, and some of the agencies have said that they don't even have money for computers. So can you discuss what some of the funding options are for tribal law enforcement agencies and the funding route you guys took?
Certainly. First, I'd kind of throw out a caution because most of the companies are switching to a new funding structure. So the original buy of the hardware is fairly inexpensive, but it's in the storage and the data maintenance on the back end is where the actual costs are. So we used self-governance and hard dollars to purchase our first set of cameras, and same with our second set. We currently have a U.S. Department of Justice CTAS grant, and I know that at least the 2015 CTAS COPS grant allowed funding for body cameras if you were one of the awarded organizations. You do have to be careful, as I mentioned, about the cost structure, because the buy-in is no longer the big challenge. It's after that, on the back end, that the long-term storage, and of course you need access to those records for years. So even if you switch to a different company downrange, you're going to actually be paying two different companies simultaneously to maintain access to your videos moving forward, or you're going to have to download all of your video, which is a massive undertaking. But for funding, I would say, the Department of Justice COPS CTAS grants, I know there was a pilot grant, I'm not sure if that's continuing at this point, that paid for 50%. But again, it was 50% of the hardware, and the real challenge for tribal law enforcement isn't the hardware purchase, it's the ongoing cost of storing and accessing the data.
Understood. And I believe the pilot invitation program will have a second round of funding, but I think that's under investigation with BJA, so I'll let that come out a little bit later. What is the most important advice you'd give to someone who is considering implementing a BWC program?
I would say really look at the privacy issues. There are many agencies in Washington State that started a body weight camera program, or I'm sorry, body worn camera, and then had to cancel it because they were being overwhelmed with privacy requests. So depending on how you deal with public disclosure issues, it may be overwhelming to even look at doing it until those issues are resolved. So basically, I would advise you not to proceed until you have those issues resolved and in black and white and everybody's comfortable with how you're going to deal with that. I would say shop carefully. Again, if the data storage is going to be done by the vendor, and that is kind of the current model, you might end up double paying if you decided to switch to a different vendor. On the flip side of that is if you do store the data locally, you have to be very diligent about backing it up, and that may lead to you having a separate server that, of course, costs, a substantial amount of money to make sure that there are backups. We started out storing our own data and had some major issues with that. And so we now store off-site. But again, if we decide to switch to a different vendor, that's going to lead to us having to double pay for at least 3 years to maintain access to our data. And discovery is going to be your biggest challenge for a small government agency. Making copies of tapes for every single case and every single arrest, or even just sending the link to the involved parties if they're stored online, is a major undertaking. You may need to hire an entire brand new person just to deal with that issue. So you need to talk to other people that have these programs in place and get a realistic expectation and make sure that, you don't think that you're buying into something that's relatively inexpensive and then find out that the long-term cost is dramatically higher. Better to know up front and make an informed decision.
Thank you, Chief Lasner. Thanks for speaking with us today and sharing your perspective on this. We encourage law enforcement, justice, and public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. The toolkit offers a variety of resources that agencies can use to help with the adoption in the use of community engagement, policy development, data collection, officer training, and educational purposes. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues and staff. Lastly, all of these resources, and especially the Body Worn Camera Toolkit, have been designed as a national resource, your resource. So please submit your ideas for new content through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. This is Todd Maxwell, Bureau of Justice Assistance, Body Worn Camera Team, signing off. Thank you for listening.